Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I am Dr. Adam Matthews, your couples therapist, alongside our fabulous Lori Watson, soon to be doctor.
Yeah.
Soon to be Dr. Lori Watson, your sex therapist.
I've been stressing. I'm finishing my research this year, and I am totally stressed out.
Listen, I know what that is like.
Oh my gosh.
One of my professors, all she would say all the time is, just get it done. Just get it down on paper.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
Don't make it perfect.
Getting it done.
Just get it done. Plow through.
Whew. Ooh. Okay.
Speaking of just getting it done, our topic today is one that most men don't like to talk about. And we're actually doing our next three podcasts. This is the first in a sort of mini series we're doing focused on men.
For the men. Right? For the guys.
All for the dudes. All for the dudes. And we were talking about, the first one is a doozy, a topic we all don't want to talk about when it happens, but happens to everybody occasionally, most people occasionally anyway.
Yes.
And that is premature ejaculation.
Yes.
Even those words just invoke fear in the hearts of men everywhere, right? Premature ejaculation.
I know. And I think the big problem is, first of all, men don't know that so many men struggle with it. It's like 30 to 40% of men have it.
At some point in their lifetime,
at some point in their lifetime.
That's a high percentage for something.
It's almost half.
Yeah. It's important to be able to talk about, because there are, the overall point that I think, we'll just hit it early and often, is that it is something that generally is curable.
The easiest sexual dysfunction to cure.
Yeah. But we have to start to figure it out, right? But what do we mean when we talk about premature ejaculation?
So it's basically sexual intercourse that usually lasts a minute or less.
Right.
And it's categorized in terms of severe to mild, depending on if it's, you know, less than 30 seconds. But basically it's, you know, less than you want it to last. And we know, right, guys, we know that that is usually not how women climax anyway. So part of it is you want to take the shame out of this saying, oh, I didn't please her. It's like, hey, you know what, buddy? You can still please her.
Yeah.
You know?
It can still happen. But for men, it's embarrassing. It feels like that. It's tied into not pleasing her as well.
I know. But can we make it not embarrassing for them? I mean, if there were anything I could do for you, it's to make it not embarrassing. I mean, really, truly, it's the frame that you put on it, which is, to me, you should say to her, baby, you are so sexy, I just couldn't help myself. I mean, that is such a positive frame, and it leaves you connected, and it leaves her feeling good. And then you just go forward. I mean, you know, so what?
Yeah.
So what? You just go forward and touch her and make her have an orgasm, and we're all happy.
Yeah. And I think for some men, maybe they're able to make that frame. I think for other men, it may be that it's that courage in the face of fear type of feeling. I mean, there's an element of embarrassment that I don't think you can get away from.
Yeah.
For most men. But
okay,
I think it's acting.
You're the guy.
I'd say acting. I mean, I think the positive reframe.
Let us know.
Well, I mean, I think the positive reframe is good.
Yeah.
I don't, if I can get my head around that, so to speak, then I think it's all the euphemisms. If I can get my mind around that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I saw you.
I need to laugh. I've been so stressed with this doctorate stuff. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that, you know, pornography and the movies have made it seem like men last forever.
Yeah.
You know, that they last for like 20 minutes and that she really likes that. I got to tell you guys, women do not want you to last for 20 minutes. Most of them don't. I mean, you would wear her out. And I mean, it's just, it's too long. I think the average length of time, isn't it like 8 minutes? You know, I mean, 8 minutes is still a pretty long sexual intercourse moment.
Yeah. And I think that what you're speaking to is some of the emotional causes of
The fear.
The fear of that, the expectation that gets placed on it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the performance idea of that it has to be fireworks every single time, that I'm going to last as long as possible, like that she is going to orgasm because of intercourse.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I think those type of expectations set the bar really high and cause a lot of anxiety in men that can lead to premature ejaculation.
Right. And I think, you know, the sense that the penis for the man is that's what sex is about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what his pressure is about, that, you know, he's got to be hard, big, and last forever. And, you know, that is just, gentlemen, it is not what makes a good lover.
Yes.
It is not.
It is not.
It's, it's being attuned. It's knowing how to touch. It's listening to her, you know, and it's being willing to take the time with her. And that's the problem with premature ejaculation, right, is if they come quickly, roll over in embarrassment and in humiliation, you know, she's high and dry. There's nothing there for her. There's no connection. There's no loving. You know, he's feeling failure, but what she thinks he's feeling is anger, distance, withdrawal. I mean, it's really hard to see, oh, my partner just feels humiliated and I need to reassure him when he's turned away and he's getting out of bed and he's acting disgusted. It's like, I think the woman feels like she's disgusting somehow. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
You just really have to think about it from her perspective, because it is not the end-all be-all for her.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what I mean by it's really, there's going to be a level of embarrassment. And so part of the reframe might have to be that I have to be courageous enough to turn back toward her.
Yes.
Talk about it, re-engage, not see it as a failure. Like, all of that, I think, is moving forward with it and saying, this sucks. This It happened. It's not necessarily enjoyable that it happened. It's not as fulfilling.
I really don't think you need to say those things.
Why?
I don't, because that's not the interpretation. It's like, it doesn't suck.
For the guy, it does.
Okay, but if that's what he comes into the, like, it happens, right? And if he's saying, I'm sorry, this sucks, it's like, no big deal. It's really, you have to hear this. It's no big deal if he stays sexual.
Yeah. And
I mean, for him to apologize or for him to say, you know, I feel so bad about this, it's like, that's a downer.
It is a downer, but it's honest.
I know.
So if it happens multiple times, let's talk about this.
Right,
maybe if it happens multiple times, then if it's something that is a... And we're going to talk about a few of the physical causes. Like, if it's something that happens multiple times, I might see that happening. Like, see him getting into a space of turning back toward her and still being sexual. The first time it happens, though, like, I don't know how you, like, I don't know if that's realistic.
Okay.
To then say this is not a disappointment. This is not a frustrating thing for.
I'm fighting shame.
I'm fighting shame.
It's like, Adam, I mean, if it happens one time, I mean, they just go, oops, out of the gate. You know, I mean, and then we just keep going. I mean, I don't want them to feel that shame. And if it happens as a pattern, I definitely want them to get it fixed. But then if they're, I mean, rolling over in bed and saying, gosh, I'm sorry again.
I agree. I think
most of them, it's a pattern.
I think on the underline, we agree on the basic parts that what you're describing would be good. What I don't want is for men to feel like they can't say what they really feel about it.
Because their anxiety.
Their anxiety about it, because I think under that they are going to feel something that's a negative. Now, I think that if the very mature, oh my gosh, so the very sexual, as we get more comfortable with ourselves and get more comfortable with those things happening and readjust to what we've been talking about for a long time, which is not seeing it as a failure, as you kind of get into that mindset, I think then it's much easier for that to be a honest expression of staying sexual.
Mm-hmm.
I just want us to be able to, because this is one of the things that I think men struggle with a lot, is not wanting to disappoint her with the realness and honesty of how he's feeling, but it is a big downer, like literally and emotionally, it's a big downer for that to happen in a moment where you don't want it to happen.
Okay, so I just want to see a show of hands from all these guys out here that are like, Adam is right, Lori. We feel terrible about it. And no matter what you say, we're still feeling bad. Show of hands. Oh, wait. We're on a podcast. Okay.
I mean, I would want to hear from guys if they feel differently, if they feel like they can easily get on the it's not a failure mindset and not feel some level of disappointment and frustration with it, then I think that's great. I think it means that people are growing and people are maturing in this and they're listening to what we're saying or what other messages about sexuality are saying. But I think the challenge in that is to be honest and that mm-hmm. more often than not, it's going to be a disappointment and mm-hmm. and the courage to turn back and say, I'm so frustrated. I'm sorry. And then being able will give them the ability to reengage more in the future than if they're frustrated and try to pretend like it's not a big deal.
Okay. I do think, though, that those conversations should be mostly out of bed. Like, let's say it's a continuous pattern. I mean, at that point, I think they need to talk to their partner. First of all, how do you feel about it? And she may say, I don't really care, you know? And if that's the truth, like, I do have women who say, that is not how I climax. I love him inside of me. It feels great. But the length of time, it's no big deal. And men still, Adam, say, but I still want to last longer. I'm like, listen to her. Yeah. Especially menopausal women, right? I mean, their tissue is more, you know, terrible, friable is what we call it. And,
sure.
You know, they may go, great, this is great. And that's not how she climaxes anyway. So at least listen, have the conversation.
Agreed.
Talk to her. And if she's frustrated and she's one of the lucky ones who stood in front of the line and God passed it out and she can climax with, you know, sexual intercourse and she wants you to last longer, okay, then we're going to work on it and we're going to teach you next how to work on it when we come back from the break. Thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters.
Right? Yeah. Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide
right.
to you as our listeners.
If, you know, our work touches you and our work helps you, we would be so grateful for your support. Just go to our website, foreplayrst.com, and there you can find a way to support us and you can see our episodes and our blogs. And thank you so much, guys.
Speaking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson from Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Lori, what is an intensive?
So an intensive is 12 to 14 hours of therapy all in one weekend. And it's a way to really make fast progress compared to weekly therapy. I mean, there's just so much more you can get done when you have a chunk of time.
Overcome the challenges in your relationship and your sex life. Learn more about intensives and Awakening Center's other services at awakenloveandsex.com.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. Give us a call at 919-587-8018. Find us online at matthewscounseling.net. We look forward to working with you. Welcome back. We are talking about premature ejaculation, everyone's favorite topic today.
I'm laughing at you, Adam.
you are laughing at me. We are yes. growing. We are learning. We are right. And we are reframing it in our minds as
absolutely.
Not a failure.
Absolutely.
But we are going to give you some tips on how to treat it, how to cure it, how to move past it. But we do want to hit on just briefly some of the – we talked about anxiety being the primary cause.
Right. Performance anxiety.
Performance anxiety.
Once it happens, your anxiety about it causes it to happen again, which is sort of like don't think about pink elephants. I mean, this is the problem.
Yep. Okay. Now all I'm thinking about is pink elephants.
Right.
But there are some physical things that can cause it. So we just want to briefly touch on that because you do want to get checked out by a doctor – for some of these things to see what if there's physical conditions that are causing it. One of them is hyperthyroidism. If that's affecting it, premature mm-hmm. ejaculation can be a symptom of that. Mm-hmm. Any kind of erectile dysfunction obviously is going to play a part in that and could be leading to some
right because some men, you know, as they start to struggle, it goes both ways. Some men who start to struggle with ED, they get anxious about that, so they want to climax mm-hmm. quickly. And that sort of leads to premature ejaculation and vice versa. Premature ejaculation makes men anxious about the whole thing, which gives them ED. It is cyclical.
Yeah.
So we want to hit it early.
Another condition that I did not know, I wasn't aware of is, and I'm not going to say it right, you're going to say it
okay.
for me.
Varicose seals.
Yes, and that's varicose veins in the scrotum.
Right.
They could be enlarged, and it could be causing premature ejaculation. And this affects 3 million people in the U.S. every year.
Right.
And it has a high percentage rate of happening at some point in
men's
lifetime.
Often more with obesity.
Yeah. So that is a cause. That's something, if that's happening, that's something you may want to get checked out. Reactions to other drugs as well, right? I mean, if you are on medication, it could be a side effect of that as well, correct?
You know, I am not sure of the drugs that would cause premature ejaculation. I know the ones that, you know, help prevent it. I'm not really sure. I don't know if like an ADD drug would do that. That is outside of my knowing at this point. I'll look that up. But I'm not heard particularly this complaint, you know, but of course, by the time men get to us, it's psychogenic. It's anxiety, you know, because they're usually referred by a urologist or a doctor, or they find us online. But, you know,
I always just recommend people just to know the side effects of whatever medications they're on anyway,
just to make sure. Exactly. And doctors don't necessarily talk about sexual side effects. You know, that's just not their wheelhouse.
Right. So those are some of the causes. So if this is something that is happening with you, go see a doctor. Make sure you tell the doctor that this is something that is recurring so that they can factor that into your diagnosis as well.
So, you're saying they're really ashamed. How ashamed do you think men are to say to their doc, hey, doc, by the way, it's the same, it comes too quickly.
We talk about it with ED. Like, that's, most people don't mention it. Like, I think there's a lot of shame around that.
Gosh, I know. I think it'd be almost harder to tell your doctor, especially, I don't know, male or female. Like, oh, by the way, you know, I'm really struggling with premature ejaculation.
It's not something you want to say out loud. That's why I keep saying it in a weird way, because premature ejaculation is just not something that you want that typically rolls off the tongue or that you participate in an ordinary conversation with.
I'm getting it.
So
I'm getting it.
The word, you know, the same as erectile dysfunction. Like, it's just not something that you – I feel like I want to use a different kind of accent like with it. I don't want to say it in my own
voice. P-E. Could they say P-E easier? I've got P-E.
I've got P-E. Yeah,
which period?
Which
seven period?
Eighth period? Yeah, I mean –
it's hard to talk about. Yeah, and I have never, ever heard of men talking to each other about it.
Men do not want to talk about their penis malfunctioning, Lori. Like, they just don't want to do it. They want it to work right. They want to talk about it in terms of all the awesome things that it can do, not the things that it can't do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just where it is.
Okay. I mean, but do tell your doc. Urologists, you know, we have some great urologists in town, and they are so cool. I don't know. They really talk to men about their sexual functioning. So if you need a urologist, holler up.
There's tons that specialize in that, so in these kind of things. So it's not hard to find one. And it's just, again, that's why I'm trying to say, like, it takes courage for men to be able to do this. And so I think that's it takes strength to be able to address these things is what I mean when we're talking about this. And because it is treatable, it's something that you can have hope for that it can be different, right? And some of the methods, there's a lot of different methods out there on the internet if you're looking for them, but we have some that we recommend versus others, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us about the start-stop technique.
Okay, the start-stop technique is really building sexual arousal and then stopping and just sort of relaxing into that. So it first starts with masturbation. You know, some men have premature ejaculation with masturbation. Most don't.
Yeah.
But it's usually partner-based. Most are fine by themselves. Partner-based, they're struggling. So it could be your partner, she's touching you, and it's just manual stimulation. And then once you feel like, if you ejaculate, let's say, on a scale of 1 to 10 at an 8. So at an 8, you move quickly to a 10, and there's no stopping it. What you really want to do is stop, like, at a 6. So you're not quite as aroused, really. As or that close, and you want to stop at a 6 and just relax, then have some more love play, come up again to the 8, you know, or to the 6, fall back down. And this is good. I mean, men need to learn too that they don't stay hard the whole time during this love play, and that's normal. You know, women don't expect that, and that there's kind of an ebb and flow. And then you want to proceed to maybe the next exciting thing. It could, you know, often it's oral sex, although some men, again, a lot of men don't climax at all with oral sex, just for the record. Just going on record with that, gentlemen. I know that, and that makes you still normal, but partly it's because they need to thrust, and they can't do that with oral sex, really, so that's part of the problem. But let's say oral sex is on the menu in terms of the next most erotic thing. They should practice that and come up only to a 6 or only to a 5, and then stop the stimulation, cuddle, talk, work on her. Mm-hmm. You know, so it can be a fun exercise.
Yeah.
And then you want to do intravaginal containment. So basically one thrust, relax, don't move, stay there, and then come out.
Yeah.
And that's like it.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is you're just increasing the tolerance level. And you're identifying where that point of no return is.
Exactly.
Right? And so that you can understand what that feels like, and that's going to help you regain some control. So it's basically stimulation, rest, and starting to learn what's happening with your body.
Exactly. And I think some men who don't struggle with premature ejaculation have sort of somehow or another learned this instinctually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, edging is like actually a great way to teach yourself some of this with masturbation, you know, where you kind of come up close to orgasm, but you don't get there. That's one way to teach yourself high arousal without climaxing. So that can be something, you know, that you do on your own as well.
Yeah. And you're talking about it in a different way than I maybe have heard it talked about before, because I know some couples are going to get frustrated with this as far as, or could get frustrated with this, because it takes a while to really, if premature ejaculation is a recurring problem, it's going to take some time.
It does.
So you have to be able to kind of persevere through it. But what I hear you saying is you still incorporate other elements of sexuality and sexual touching, erotic touching,
right,
that really kind of can be more enjoyable than just the idea of just working on the premature ejaculation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, in long-standing premature ejaculation, when it's become a tension point in the relationship, it is more difficult to heal, not because, I mean, the issue is actually easy to heal. It's the cooperation between the couple that's difficult to get happening. You know, so part of it is reassuring her that this is something that is healable. It usually takes about 6 months. So, I mean, it's some effort. And in the intervening months, I mean, you shouldn't expect yourself to be, you know, great at it right in the beginning. So some of it could be these sorts of little quick tricks, you know, masturbate before you go into the session. And then just experience pleasure. And I think men need to have whole body arousal. This is really key to healing premature ejaculation, is they don't want to have such an intense focus on penile stimulation.
And I think that goes into some of the kind of the mental reframing that we've been talking about, I think, is this is really focusing on other sexual pleasures as well, other areas of erotic touch, other areas of stimulation, and not focusing so much.
Right, because the focus on the penis actually brings anxiety. They're not really experiencing pleasure anymore. They're like, oh my God, the pleasure is happening too fast. And so it becomes antithetical to their experience. They don't want that to happen. And no, that's crazy. We want you to feel pleasure. We want you to be in the erotic moment, which is another technique. You know, sometimes people do the multiplication tables in their head, or they think of something, you know, unsexy.
I'm so against
your
that.
Your grandma.
Present. It's a think about grandma type of thing. I heard somebody say one time they used to like practice free throws in their head, like visualizing free throws in their head. I heard that one time. Like, no, like that to me does not solve it long term. It may solve it in the moment, but what it does is it starts to take you out of your body. It starts to take you out of yourself and takes you away from your partner, right? It's a disconnection rather than connection.
And we want you to actually feel eroticism and feel good in your whole body, feel good in your penis, and learn to incorporate that in a way that still gives you ejaculatory control.
So just a couple other things we just want to mention briefly of possible treatments. It's because I know people tend to search the internet. They're going to come up with the squeeze method. on the internet. We are just so against that, right?
I do not want their penis to be hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a tube of yogurt, people. So, we don't need to do that.
That is really not as effective as the start-stop method.
Right, and so that's going to come up, but that's really an outdated technique.
It is, yeah.
But some of the other things that they might be able to find, there are some topical creams.
Right, sprays.
Sprays that basically...
You get from your doctor.
They essentially numb the penis, right, and make it less sensitive.
And it doesn't have an impact on the vagina, so that's a good thing.
And then there are some tablets you can take just to help you regain some more control as well. Some prescription tablets, I believe they're prescription that you would have to...
You know, I am unaware of that, Adam.
Well, there are those as well.
Okay, I also know, though, that an SSRI, which is an antidepressant, but at lower doses... It actually does delay orgasm, and this is a problem for most of us, right? If we take an SSRI, it delays our orgasm and lowers our libido. But especially for young men and when it's a consistent problem, somewhat I think it's a way to learn ejaculatory control. Yeah. It's kind of – and it's effective, and especially if there's a long-acting or a long-term problem in your partnership. Yeah. I think it's a real decent solution for a six-month kind of trial. Mm. I talked to a guy who was divorcing and he was going to be out dating again and having sex again, and he was just so anxious about it, you know, and he just didn't want to go out into the world and do this. And I said, do an SSRI. You know, you'll feel happier through this time. You know, it'll curb some of the up highs and lows of your moods. Mm. And, you know, during this stressful time. And then also it'll help you when you do get connected with somebody again that you love and want to be with. You know, it's great.
And there's also there's some condoms that are specifically made that would help this as well.
They're thicker.
They're thicker. They decrease the sensation.
Less sensation.
As well. So that may be helpful as well. So there are some out there. But as we've talked about kind of the – anxiety being the primary cause of premature ejaculation, those may be some more quick fixes, some more immediate fixes, which are helpful. Mm-hmm. But we also would encourage people to address kind of the underlying piece as well.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And let's put in our show notes the tabs, the SSRI, kind of we'll put them in our show notes in terms of these resources of where you can look for them or what you can ask your doctor for.
Yeah.
So we have the right names of all this stuff.
But overall, we want people to be hopeful about this, right? Not embarrassed.
So curable.
Being able to move forward and seek some help on this. But it is treatable. It is curable. It's something that you can absolutely have
success.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
It. Yes. Go say it five times in the mirror so you're not, before you see your doctor, so you're not embarrassed. Premature ejaculation.
This is no big deal.
Premature ejaculation.
I mean, this is fixable.
Premature ejaculation.
Premature ejaculation. Right. Okay. Thanks so much for listening to us. And we're going to do a couple more on male issues. So listen up, Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833, the number 4, play. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.